FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 1:15:18. So we had a pretty good retail Christmas. Maybe things are turning around in retailing, but there's still loads of store closings. Hey, first, housekeeping, be part of the show. Join us. Email kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, has retail turned the corner? Noted retailing expert Howard Davidowitz is with us. You've seen him on CNBC, Fox, and so many other places. Howard, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for the invitation.
Always a pleasure. So we saw retailing go up for the first time in a long time. We see GDP blazing at a 4% increase. Is this the turnaround for retailing, or are the trends still in motion and we have more of the same to look forward to?
Well, retailing has a couple of dimensions to it. One, if you start out and look at the totality, the consumer is 70% of the United States economy. So that if you look at that global view and you realize GDP is exploding and employment is doing great and jobs are coming back to America and everybody is wealthier, half the people are involved in the stock market directly or indirectly, they're doing great. America's biggest investment is their home. Americans, that's their most important investment, is their homes. That's through the roof. So that if you're one of the 70% of Americans who own a home, you're pretty happy. So that everything from the economic perspective is better on the global view. And of course, that all affects retailing, and we had a great Christmas, and the total numbers look good. Under that, there will be an ongoing catastrophe in the retail business because of changes that are taking place. In other words, tax cuts, great. It puts more money in people's pockets. Couldn't be better for retail. However, underneath that comment, when you look at American retailing, you recognize that we've got five times the amount of floor space per customer as countries like Japan, England, France, Canada, etc. We are so overstored, it's ridiculous. Then you look at the fact that all of the growth is in online sales, all of it, and more. Then you wake up and understand we've got to close tens of thousands of more stores. More companies are going to go bankrupt. Stores are going to have to be downsized, just like Kohl's announced. Everybody says Walmart is great, but they're sitting on the biggest liability in retail history because they've got more square footage out there than anyone else, and no one's talking about that. What are they going to do about that? They just announced the closing of a bunch of Sam's Club, but that's nothing compared to what they'll have to do. So that there's a huge liability overhanging most retailers, and that is their store space, which is a liability. They're getting killed. And on doing more online business is not an answer, you know, because you still have the overhead of the stores. So that it is, this is a very complex problem. There's going to be, the real estate people have a tremendous overhang because they're going to be stuck with empty spaces. What are they going to do? A lot of debts are coming due, CMBS loans. So there's a lot going on out there untold. So the disaster will continue as retail restructures itself. That will happen. It is happening. It's happening in dramatic fashion. Everyone's closing stores. Everyone's downsizing stores. Bankruptcies at a record level. All of that's going on. But that's going to accelerate as companies like Amazon and the brick and mortar stores do more business online. The best example I can give you is Staples. Staples did half their business online, half, not 20% like Macy's, Nordstrom's, half. And they're in the crapper. How could that happen? Easy. Because they still had the overhead of the stores. And they've been closing stores forever, and now it's a leveraged buyout and all the rest. So that all I'm saying is the worst is yet to come with the restructuring of retail. That doesn't mean the economy will get weak. I don't expect it to. I think the economy is going to continue to be strong. Earnings look good. I think the mentally deranged and mentally deficient Obama administration that put in all of these lunatic rules, regulations. I don't know who put them in, Al Sharpton or whoever else was out there running the place. This is what we ended up with. It destroyed the economy. It destroyed the community banks who lend to small business, who drive jobs. So everything we did was nuts. Now we're coming down to sanity, making solid economic decisions, and it's reflected in the numbers.
So we're going to obviously lose millions of jobs in retail.
Millions. Right. Millions of jobs. Yep. Right.
Not just from store closings, but also from automation, because stores will have to cut costs, invest in capital, which this tax bill has really given them a great incentive to put in as many kiosks and automated AI, robots, whatever they need to do. They're going to follow Amazon's lead. So who will survive? Who are the strongest? Who are the winners here? Who are the losers?
Well, right now, the strongest winners, okay, if you look at the whole picture, is home. In other words, as I said, home is booming. It's great for the American economy. It's great for the average worker. And of course, companies like Home Depot and Lowe's are just booming along. And they're taking advantage of that. And they're doing terrific because Americans are remodeling their homes once again because they recognize it's a great investment. So that's going on. Also, extreme value. Terrific. They're opening 1,000 new stores. Stores like Aldi Food, Dollar General, Dollar Tree, terrific area, because there's a lot of trading down being done for the reasons you just gave. In other words, underlying everything, and the employment numbers couldn't be better. I mean, we're at full employment. It's unbelievable. But we still have a residue of a lot of people who have been and will continue to be replaced by automation, and you're absolutely right. It's all about technology. It's all about changes in technology, and we've got to be a leader in that. We can't stop automating because we won't be competitive, so we have to do it. And a lot of people are going to be left behind, and a lot of people are going to be hurt, and that will all have to be restructured. That take a decade or more, maybe more. So all of that is going on while the good stuff is going on. And so the low-end retailers, the off-price retailers, TJ Maxx and Ross, where is all the growth? It's all in the discounters. With the stock market up like this, I expect some of the upscale stores to do very well also. I think they're driven by how the stock market does. So there'll be a plus and minus. There are always winners and losers on anything that you do. But we can't stop automating and be an advanced country. So we have to do that, and there will be victims of that. And can they be retrained? Will they be retrained? What benefits do we give them? And we should, and what can we do and what can't we do? But we will be left with a portion of the labor market that will continue to have real problems. Obviously, the greatest place to be is to be an engineer or to be a technology or something like this. It's all about technology. That's who's going to manage the future. That's the place to be. Millions of people are in there. They work in retail stores, and a lot of those people will fall by the wayside.
And then a lot of the stores, everyday names, household names you see are going to either be gone or they're going to be a fraction of themselves.
Sears, Kmart, I mean, they'll be gone. Sure, they'll just be gone. We've got tons of stores, and we're only beginning. It's only the beginning. They're trying to sell off their real estate. They're trying to do everything they can to raise capital, to reposition themselves. Some are more likely to do it than others, but it's a tough place to be.
Tough place to be. But as it fits into the economy at large, so there's going to be a redirecting, if I can summarize what you said, away from retail, assets being redeployed away from retail into other more opportune or profitable sectors of the economy.
Exactly. And that's what's going on as we speak. Here's the most dramatic example. If you take Nordstrom, probably America's greatest department store in terms of operations and customer service and everything else, all of their growth in the last 7-8 years has been in Nordstrom Rack. It's a discounter.
Yeah.
What does that tell you? Nordstrom Rack has twice as many stores as Nordstrom. Now, what does that tell you? I mean, that's the reality of where we are, because that's where most Americans are. Of course, the affluent people are doing better, but they're a small percentage of the economy. and they were a small percentage of the customers. So that if you're a national retailer, Nordstrom redeployed their assets into off-price. It was a brilliant move, and it worked, and they've got a growth vehicle. And they may go private and be able to raise the money and on and on and on, and great for them. But most people were not smart enough or effective enough to do that. So you see that Macy's has now gone into the off-price business. By the way, they're only a decade too late, no problem. But they did it. So everybody recognizes you got to listen to the whispers before they become roars. Everybody understands the trends, but repositioning can cause billions of dollars, tens of thousands of jobs, liquidation of space, closed stores, and everything else. It's not so simple that you can snap your fingers and say, okay, we're going to reposition. It's not easy. It's very costly. Of course, a lot of companies are richer because of the tax cuts. That enabled Walmart to give these raises, and other companies are giving raises. I think it is terrific. Instead of the minimum wage, it looks to me like that's a great way to support the middle class, and it's happening. And it's happening in a broad scale. So that's just great. So there are good things happening. There's always change, and we have to be ahead of the change.
So embrace change, because you don't really have any choice anyway. Look for new opportunities. Right. And certain states, though, it seems like retailers do better than in other states. Like, I'm looking at Florida. So Florida's population's increasing.
Yeah, always.
And its economy. And right. Texas, you go to malls there. But even still, I was at a mall in Palm Beach County. I'm sure you're very familiar with it. In Boynton Beach, the place is a ghost town. It's frightening to see what's happening there.
And that's happening all over the country. You know, if you look at a state like Texas, that I go over the last decade, they've produced half the new jobs in America. One state!
Yeah.
Texas!
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? They took all of Obama's rules, put him on a roll of toilet paper, and mailed it back to him. That's where his rules should go.
Yeah.
So Texas told Obama to go screw himself with his health care and everything else, and they operated in a capitalistic society, and they've had one of the great... Florida had Rick Scott. Mm. In other words, if you get away from the madmen, all right? the states that got away from the raving lunatics we had in Washington, who was signing up with Iran, who signed up with the Muslim Brotherhood, Susan Rice, God knows what they did over there, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But they were all crazy with rules, regulations, shut down the community bank. I mean, if you escape from the madhouse that we had in Washington, and there are a number of states that did, those states are doing wonderfully well.
Right.
Because they refused to listen to that great economist, Nancy Pelosi, Obama, whoever was over there doing all the crazy. They didn't listen to the geniuses, Nancy Pelosi and all the rest of the rocket scientists, who put in a healthcare plan that couldn't work unless the young people signed up. If you had an IQ of 14, you'd understand they wouldn't sign up. They didn't sign up. So now the entire healthcare plan goes on a roll of toilet paper. This is what they did in America. This is their performance. Signing up with Iran, bombing Libya, signing up with the Muslim Brotherhood, screwing our ally Egypt. This was their performance, all right? Rock solid.
Yeah.
So rock solid. This is what they accomplished.
So now we're kind of awakening from the nightmare.
Right.
And we're left to pick up the pieces. And, you know, we've got this educational system that is literally in shambles, that doesn't serve anything.
Yeah.
And one other thing, Howard. So we got the huge amounts of space here that will never be occupied again. What are the alternatives for it? Do we turn it into immigration centers, these malls? What do we do?
It's a 20-year project, and it'll all happen. Look. Mixed-use development, condos, condominiums, retail, hospitals, universities, medical centers. We got all kinds of stuff we'll do. Takes 20 years. You can't real estate doesn't happen quickly. But over 20 years, we'll use it all. It'll be a 20-year project, and it will happen. Here's why you can't fix it fast. An anchor store leaves. All these specialty stores, what they call the inline stores, have covenants in their leases. We got to have so many anchor stores. They got to be department stores. So then they'll have a right to leave if you can't get another department store, and department stores aren't growing. So that'll leave the developer in an impossible position, get services, do this. No one believes that. Of course, it's impossible, even though they're putting in more movies and nothing will work. So that in the end, the specialty stores will be able to leave. And it'll take years to reposition the space, but it will be done. And somebody will make a fortune because they'll buy the space on the cheap, work on it for 15 years, and make billions of dollars. And I think that's there to be made because the American economy will keep growing. We'll need more medical services. We'll need other things. We'll have needs for technology centers, education. That space will be used, multi-use. That space will get used. It just won't happen fast. So there'll be a lot of real estate guys go broke along the way.
Right. And hey, so what about turning these malls into big marijuana grow houses?
Well, I don't know about the marijuana where we're going, but I think they'll be turned into things that are useful for people. All right. People are in the marijuana business in California. Is it legal? Isn't it legal? I don't know. The current attorney general has something to say about that, so I'm not going to get in legal, illegal. But eventually, it'll probably be a growth business, the marijuana business, eventually. When the Democrats take over, it'll immediately become a growth business. They're all on marijuana. So that's what they do in their offices. So that I don't know when it'll happen, but this economy is cooking. If we stay on the right track, it'll continue to grow. The growth will pay for everything. It'll be Ronald Reagan's morning in America if we can stick to a path of less regulation, lower taxes, all right, and go back to a capitalistic economy without a bunch of pinheaded moron professors in Washington who can't get themselves arrested, who developed a health care plan that the young people were supposed to sign up for and didn't, who signed up with Iran, who bombed Syria, who supported the Muslim Brotherhood, who voted against Israel in the UN, and they were celebrating that, and that's what they accomplished. No, they abstained, excuse me. Yeah. They convinced all the other countries to vote against Israel, but they abstained. No problem. That's what they did. It's called magic fingers. So that was their performance in office. So if we can get some sanity going on, I think we'll go back to the Ronald Reagan years, which we're in now, which you can start to see. This economy is moving. There's confidence. There's excitement. There's new jobs. There's growth. People have more money, and it's going to be even more because now there's a labor shortage. And now the middle class is going to be able to demand more raises, and they're going to get them. They're already getting them. Companies are volunteering to give raises because of the tax cuts. So I think we'll be on a way to something sensible if we don't destroy ourselves with Nancy Pelosi and God knows what they're smoking over there and the health care. I don't know what they'll do next. But if we can stick to these Reagan policies and Trump policies, we'll be great.
Hey, so one success story, you go to every mall or every higher end mall, and you see there's always one store that is packed that people are spilling out of literally, and that's Apple.
Apple, right.
So they're the contrarian of the bunch, really, because the other sectors of retailing that are doing well really aren't in the malls.
That is absolutely, they're off the mall. And the reason for that is obvious. Number one, the rent is lower. Number two, isn't it nice to drive up to a Kohl's, and this is why they're doing great, get out of your car, do your shopping, and then go right back in your car and drive away. Yeah. Perfect. Who the hell needs a mall? So that I, of course, off the mall. Who's off the mall? Everybody that's growing. Target, Walmart, everybody that's growing. Kohl's, everybody that's growing. TJ Maxx, they're all off the mall. Home Depot is off the mall. Lowe's is off the mall. Everybody who's growing is off the mall. So, of course, it's easier to shop. It's more convenient. It's less costly. Absolutely correct. But off the mall will be screwed, too. This online is so powerful. It's so strong. It will eventually affect everything. But off the mall is in a better position than on the mall. Now, as far as Apple goes, the greatest trillion-dollar company, those companies throughout our history that were product companies, IBM, whoever they were, hit the wall. Whenever you're a product company, somebody comes up with a better product. That's been the history. So watch out for Apple in the next 5 years. Watch out for product companies because somebody comes out with the same thing and it costs half. Watch out. Apple is the greatest. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
What will happen to Apple in 5 years? They're a product-driven company, and that's tricky in technology.
For sure. So one thing I've noticed, this trend of they're usually outdoor malls, but they're kind of entertainment centers.
Yep.
You'll have a lot of restaurants there,
yep.
Kind of kitschy retailers, crafts-like retailers. Is that a trend that can be carried out across the country, or is that a flash-in-the-pan trend?
I think it's a flash-in-the-pan. I think there's some of it where it makes a lot of sense, obviously. I don't think that's going to be a big thing. It's not a big thing. What works off the mall is centers with Walmart, Kroger. Those centers work the best with Target, with Home Depot, with Lowe's, with all of those, Best Buy. That's what works the best off the mall on a big scale. Of course, there are examples where there are all sorts of specialty, beautiful restaurants and smaller upscale stores and blah, blah, blah. Of course, that's all going on. But it's peanuts. It's nothing.
Yeah. So it's just
what works on a big scale is something that appeals to a huge percentage of Americans, like Home Depot, like Target, like Walmart, with 150 million customers. Those are the companies that appeal to a broad base, Best Buy, of Americans. And those are the stores that are good, that will continue to do very well.
Yeah, so there's winners and there's losers. Among your clients, the impact of the latest tax cut, because department stores traditionally had very high tax rates.
Oh, high tax.
Retailers.
They love it.
Yeah.
They love it for mainly two reasons. Anything that puts money in the consumer's pocket is great for stores of any kind. We want the consumer to be richer, and this makes the consumer richer. We think that's great. Everything Trump does has made the consumer richer. So that was all great. As far as the tax cut goes, we're very high taxpayers. So for us, that's why Walmart immediately gave the raises. This is billions back into the pockets of corporations who will reinvest it in their stores, but also in their people. Because the labor market is getting tighter and they recognize it's more competitive. They want the best people and they'll pay more. Costco has done that for years. And that's why Costco is one of the world's greatest retailers. They've always rewarded their people at a higher level, better benefits and all the rest of it. And Costco, I'm sure, will do even more. So that's going on with the tax cut. They'll have more money to reinvest in online and other services. And most importantly, they'll do more business and help grow the economy. So all of that will be going on. That will be a terrific story where corporations can pay people more, have higher dividends, reinvest in themselves. We see it happening now because of the tax cut and the write-offs. Corporations, instead of buying back stock, are going to be reinvesting and expanding in America. That's terrific. That's what we want.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be a lot more of that, and I think that's just going to be great. That write-off for small business on capital will just be terrific, where they will be able to invest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, makes a lot of sense. And, you know, it's amazing what happens when you let people keep more of their money.
Of course.
Yeah, what a shock. What a shock. Well, I'm predicting that there'll be another tax cut, probably 2 years down the road.
That would be great.
Yeah, fill in for what they couldn't do on this one for
right.
for political reasons.
Right.
So, but we do have these intractable problems. The entitlements, Social Security, Medicare.
Oh, all that has to be dealt with. As long as you've got the Democrats in place, you can't do anything.
So
you can't do anything. It's horrible. It's going broke. Social Security, we all understand it. If they would have put Bush's Social Security plan in place, that part of it was based on the stock market, have you any idea how rich Social Security would be today?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Harry Reid said the man was a liar and a criminal. They destroyed him.
Yeah.
They destroyed him. Nancy Pelosi went back into another plastic surgery. They destroyed him. They went out of their mind. If it had been done, just look at what the results would be.
Yeah, and they weren't talking
a lot. They could smoke a little more marijuana over there.
Yeah, they weren't talking a lot, putting a big portion of Social Security in there, like 10-15%.
10-15%, but do you realize what the impact would be?
Oh, yeah,
it would be incredible. But they don't talk about that. They're not working on that. Bring on the marijuana, let out the prisoners, call up Susan Rice. Dude, I mean, the place is a booby hatch.
Yeah, well, Washington, there's a lot of dysfunction there for sure.
Right.
And, you know, you just wonder where those people are coming from, what they're about.
Exactly. But,
yeah. So I think it's safe to say you're optimistic. The economy is going to work the way it's supposed to, kind of the self-correcting creative destruction, because that's what we're really talking about.
Exactly.
In retailing. Yeah.
A capitalistic economy that works. And I think that's what we're coming up with. And I am tremendously optimistic that it not only is it going to work, it is working. And as long as we get away from these crazies, if you just look at the result of what Bush's plan would have been, which they went completely ballistic. This Harry Reid lost his mind. By the way, same guy who said Mitt Romney didn't pay any taxes. I don't have to tell you Harry Reid's record.
Yeah.
Obama's greatest ally. Romney never paid tax. I mean, the man was institutional. I should be in a mental institution. Mm-hmm. But if you look at what the results would have been, it would have been a tremendous help. But of course, we could never do it. We could never do anything. And this is it. If they don't know how to do anything. Just raise taxes, build de Blasio, and that's it. That's what they know.
Yeah, so de Blasio there, he's busy at work. He somehow thinks he has a future on the national political scene.
Well, I don't think, that's de Blasio. I don't think he has more than one supporter. But anyway, he's out there, and God knows what he'll do. The best thing is he'll leave one day. You're in a lunatic asylum. So that's just what we deal with here. And that's what we got to deal with.
You would have thought that they could have put somebody up against him who might have had a chance?
Let's put it this way. Rudy Giuliani made the most brilliant statement. We had great mayors. We had Ed Koch, who was a Democrat, a great man. We had, of course, Rudy, great. And we had Mike Bloomberg, the greatest. So we had these guys. And Rudy Giuliani said in an interview, he said, how could I ever get elected the mayor of New York? How could it happen? It's an 8-1 Democrat. He said, the only way I got elected is things became so bad, they were afraid to go out on the street.
Yeah.
He said, when that happened, I got elected.
Yeah.
Dinkins was thrown out. He said, then we went through all the years of Republicans, right? We had Giuliani for 8 years. We had Bloomberg for 12 years. We had 20 solid years. New York was solid, growing, and safe. In another 3-4 years, when the Democrats finish, we'll be back to where we were. And then another Republican, because Giuliani said the only way they'll elect a Republican is when they're so terrified, when they go so completely, when the city goes so completely insane that they don't know what, that's when they will elect a Republican. And that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they got confident again after 20 years of Republicans, now they're ready to go. In came de Blasio, but we won't see the effect of de Blasio for another few years. Mm-hmm. Once they start seeing the effect of this, then you'll see a Republican come back. That's what it takes to get a Republican elected in New York. It takes a horror situation where, and we had this, Al Sharpton was closing the bridges. I mean, there was Freddie's fire. I mean, all this was going on. It was all happening when Cinco City turned into a madhouse.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to the city. Freddie's fire. People were killed. Al Sharpton had signs. I mean, and when all that was done, they elected a Republican. And that will happen again. And by the way, African-Americans are the ones who will elect and minorities will be the one who elect the Republicans, because they'll be the most victimized by all of this stuff, which is what Giuliani repeatedly tried to point out. Mm-hmm. They will help elect the Republican because they won't be able to go on.
Yeah, they take it the hardest. The better
areas.
Well,
they should take it the hardest, because it's terrible for them what goes on with the drugs and the crime. They are more victimized than anyone else, which is terrible. But that's what happens. So that they threw out Dinkins. I mean, ultimately, that's the only way a Republican can get elected. We're a very diverse city, which is great. And I think we will have a diversity in the vote where minorities will say, my God, I can't send my kid to school. The schools are a madhouse. The whole place is falling apart. I got to do something else. That's what happened with Giuliani, who did a great job. That's what happened with Bloomberg, who did a great job. Mm-hmm. And I thought Ed Koch, who was a Democrat, also did an outstanding job. He called himself a Democrat who's sane. I agree. I think Koch was sane. I think we'll get back to sanity.
All right. Well, let's hope it all happens. And I think you're right. 2018 is definitely looking up. And I think you're right. Sometimes you got to hit bottom before you can move on.
It's the only way.
Yeah, really is. Well, hey, Howard, again, Happy New Year. Thanks so much for coming on.
And Omedeto gozaimasu. Happy New Year in Japanese, and God bless.
You too. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.